They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, the Hebrew meaning behind the word wait is not like our wait. You know, the country songwriter wrote a song once, waiting on a woman. You know, it's not that kind of wait. You know, waiting on God means that you're believing God to bring an answer, amen? And you're waiting on God, fully trusting in Him that He's a loving Heavenly Father that's going to bring the answer to you, amen? You're not fretting, you're not worried, you're simply trusting in Him, amen? Glory to God. Anybody else want to testify this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
There's a reckoning coming for any nation that boots against God's people.
Amen. Amen. Don't preach my message this morning. I'm only teasing you, Janie. Did you notice what Janie said? She said, when God found me. I hear people say, when I found the Lord, was He lost? That's one of your jokes you told a long time ago. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
where it just plummeted. And so just some of the verses are so much fun to write. So I just thank God for His song.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to rain on your
Lord.
Okay. Thank
you.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? Glory to God. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Y'all happy now? If nobody else is going to testify, I'm going to rain on your parade. Anybody need an offering envelope? John, you're up. Anybody need an offering envelope? Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Praise His mighty name. Now, you might need a pen and a paper this morning because I'm going to give you homework.
Oh.
Hallelujah. You won't need it till the second half of the message. Glory, glory, glory. Everybody get an envelope, needs one? Look at somebody and say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Now look at them again saying, you're blessed too. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's pray and you can give. Father, we thank You. You are an awesome, mighty God. We thank You, Father, that You have given us seed that we can sow into Your kingdom. And Father, I just thank You that when we place that seed in the hand of a mighty God, You'll multiply it, You'll use it to expand Your kingdom, and You'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give You glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Oh, you believe that? I had that marked, and I pulled it out. You believe I did that? Do what? I can't hear you. Sorry. I'll find it here. No, it wasn't the one I just read. No. I can't believe I did that. I took all that time to find it, and then I pulled it out of there. Just give me 1 second.
One.
Maybe two. I might need two. Always a comedian. Ain't that something? Well, we're going to start anyway. Because we're live streaming now. We don't want anybody to think we're plumb dumb. Hallelujah. Turn, there it is. God is good. Turn to 2 Kings, page 489. Got a Bible like mine. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 6. Praise his mighty name. I'm not telling you anymore. Let's pray and we'll study God's word this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. Father, we thank you for your word and what it means to us. And Lord, I just thank you that you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's pick it up in verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dotham. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? You ever been there? You ever been to the end of your rope? What am I going to do? So the servant says, what are we going to do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened his eyes, opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Ooh, glory to God. Now, the point I want to make here today is there is a realm that you can't see with your natural eye. Amen? But notice that Elijah was faced with a natural army, horses, chariots. But Elijah could see into the spirit realm, and he saw the army of the living God. Amen? Come on now, help me. This is important. I want you to know that there is another realm, a spirit realm. Now turn with me to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 10, page 1136. Hallelujah. Now, Daniel's been praying for 3 weeks, okay? For 3 weeks he's been praying every day. He's been mourning and praying. And let's pick it up in verse 10. And suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees, on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Now let's jump down to verse 19. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be to you. Be strong, yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened, and he said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. Now keep your finger there and jump over to the right into the commentary. Ephesians chapter 6. We read it last week, but I'm going to read it here again. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, page 1654. Praise the Lord. He says, Finally, my brethren, verse 10 of chapter 6, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Remember, our strength comes from him. The Apostle Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not earthly, but they're mighty through God to pull down strongholds. He tells us that in his letter to the Corinthians. Paul says, Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles is an old English word that means schemes or plans. So he says, Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes and the plans of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, Paul is very clear here that we don't war against flesh and blood, against other people, okay? But our battle is against spiritual wickedness, principalities, and powers in that other realm, all right? Now, let's go back to Daniel. The individual who's talking to Daniel is Gabriel, an archangel who is usually in the Bible, he's normally used to bring a message from God. So Gabriel is speaking to Daniel, and he tells him, you know, from the first time you prayed, the answer was on the way. But he said, the prince of Persia withstood me. Now, how many of you know he wasn't talking about an earthly prince? The word prince in the Hebrew is the word sar, S-A-R. And it means one who has dominion over, or one who rules over. Okay? Now, every false god has a demonic spirit behind it. I believe that with all my heart. It has one who has dominion over that. How else, and that evil spirit behind idols is what twists things and gets in people's minds. I'm not talking about possession now. Just gives them the ideas to do all kinds of ungodly things. All right? So they influence people. All right? How many know that, you know, alcoholics and drug addicts, they are influenced. All right? How many know poverty? Poverty in a city can be because there is an influence of principalities or powers in another realm that are influencing over that nation. So when Gabriel says the prince of Persia, he's not talking about an earthly prince. He's talking about a principality or power, evil power, that has dominion over that part of the land. Now, I believe with all my heart that every nation has an archangel. Some are good, some are evil. Okay? But I believe every nation has an archangel. And Gabriel refers, talking to Daniel here, Gabriel says, the only one who stood with me was your prince, Michael. Michael, we know from Scripture, is an archangel. He's a warring angel. And so it was Michael that aided Gabriel as he battled the prince of Persia. And then Gabriel was able to make his way to Daniel. Now, if I told you I understand this completely, I would be lying to you. But I can only look at what's there. Daniel prayed for 21 days, and it sure seems like that Daniel's prayers invigorated or strengthened Gabriel as he brought the answer.
Amen.
Everybody with me so far? Now, Elisha's servant was able to see the army of God, an angelic army. They're there. Believe it or not, they're there whether we've seen them or not. There's another realm. One of these days we'll be able to see into that realm.
Amen.
What a day that will be. Amen. With my Jesus I shall see. So here's my point. We must be people of prayer. Now turn with me real quick. I'm going to tell you why. Go to Genesis chapter 9. We've read it a couple times recently, but it bears reading one more time for this morning. We'll pick it up in verse 25, page 17. Then he said, Noah's speaking now. He's about to speak something that's going to affect the nations from this time all the way into the present time. He says, cursed be Canaan. Remember, Canaan was a son of Ham. A servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. And he said, blessed be Yahweh, the God of Shem. And may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. Now, a couple weeks ago, when we did this, we talked about the nations and God's love for the nations. We talked about how Japheth is actually going to be the father of a large portion of the Gentile nations, possibly us included, okay? Ham, his descendants are going to be the descendants of the Arab tribes, all right? And then Shem would be the father of the Jewish people. Okay, now, why did I say that? Because of what Janie just said earlier. Sometime France is about 7 hours ahead of us. So sometime about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and before I say that, it's believed that 70 nations originally came out of these three men. Ham, Japheth, and Shem. In Paris today, about 2 or 3 o'clock our time, 70 diplomats from 70 different nations were meeting in Paris. This was, I'm not trying to be political, but this was sponsored by the French government, President Hollande, however you say that, and the Obama administration. John Kerry is the only delegate there from the United States. But they are trying to come up with an idea, a plan for a two-state solution in Israel. And they want to force this on Israel, a two-state solution. All right, now, with that said, I want you, if you would, to turn with me to Psalms 83. Psalms 83. Psalms 83. Now you want to write this one down, okay? Write this, it'll be part of your homework. I'm just going to give you this one early. Psalms 83, page 750. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Word of God says, "Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God, for behold, your enemies make a tumult or an uproar. And those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, 'Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more.' For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you." In 1945, the Arab nations created what is known as the Arab League. And they said it was for economic reasons and all that, but it was in answer to the growing Jewish population in Israel and all the talk about Israel becoming a nation. That's why they formed the Arab League. Notice it says they form a confederacy against you, against God. The tents of Edom, the Ishmaelites, Moab, the Agagites, Gebel, Ammon, Amalek, Philistia, with the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria also have joined them. They have helped the children of Lot. Now look what verse 9 says. Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera. Deal with them as Midian. Anybody know what happened to the Midianite army? Do you know who led? You remember a guy named Gideon? He's out hiding, threshing a little wheat so he can make a little bread for his family. And the angel of the Lord shows up and says, "Gideon, mighty man of valor." Yeah. Really? Yeah. Well, I don't really feel much like a mighty man of valor. You probably felt that way too. I don't, you know, I know who the Bible says I am, but I really don't feel like more than a conqueror right this minute. Ever been there? I'm sure Gideon was like, maybe he might have even been a little bit like Sarah, you know, when they said, "Hey, Sarah, you're 99, but you're going to have a child," and she laughed. I don't guess Gideon laughed, but I'm sure he was uncomfortable with that thought. And so he goes out, he recruits this army, and God starts telling him to do different things, and he starts whittling down his army. And the last thing he does is take him down to water, and all of them that just laid, you know, put their head down, drink like a dog, they're out of here. But you take the ones that take their hand and take a sip, they're your army. And it was 300 of them against all the Midianites. So it'd be like, "Lord, did I hear you right? I must not heard you right." You know, huh? Imagine that. And they got a trumpet and they got a lamp and they blow the shofars, they light their lanterns, and the Midianites kill each other. Yeah. Now remember Sisera? Yeah. You know who was in charge in Israel during Sisera? Sisera was I don't know what tribe he was from. He wasn't an Israelite, he was an enemy. But Israel was commanded by Deborah, a woman. Remember that? And Sisera's army was coming against them, and God caused it to rain. You know, it don't rain a lot there. God caused it to rain, and of course, chariots don't run well in mud. And so it bogged down the army. And another woman, I can't remember her name right off the top of my head, while Sisera is asleep in his tent, she slips in and drives a peg through his head. Yeah. You'll backtalk that woman again. But here's my point. The psalmist says, deal with them in this manner. That's pretty heavy. But look what else he says here. He's asking God, don't keep silent. Don't hold your peace. Do not be still, for your enemies make an uproar. He said, and those who hate you have lifted up their head, taking crafty counsel against you. against your people, consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. This is why there will never be peace in the Middle East until Jesus returns, because the Muslim world does not want peace. They want to wipe Israel off the map. Islam teaches that if you control a piece of land, and the Ottoman Turkish Empire controlled Israel, they called it Palestine, back, you know, before World War I. The Ottoman Turks were the greatest empire. You know, they're the ones that defeated the Crusaders. And not that the Crusaders were a real godly lot. They weren't. but if you ever go with me to Israel, we can go past Nazareth, past the valley where Sisera got his end, past Mount Tabor, go in through the hills there where you can see the Sea of Galilee, and the Horn of Tamim. I believe it's the Horn of Tamim. I could be wrong. You can see it. It juts out of the hill. It's where the last Crusaders were defeated by Salamain. And so they were beaten because they wouldn't take their armor off, and they tried to fight in 100-degree weather with their armor on, nothing to drink, nothing to eat. How many know it's not going to be a very long battle if you're fighting that way? But there'll never be peace because the Muslim world does not want peace. They want Israel. So you have 70 nations in Paris right now, representative 70 nations, trying to come up with an idea, something that they can get ripped back to the UN real quick so they can have another resolution, all right? Just this week, the Palestinian leader, what's his name, Mahmoud Abbas, met with Pope Francis and made his case that Jerusalem was the capital of Islam. Now, Pope Francis, I'll give him a little bit of kudos here. He said he thought it was the capital for Christians and Jews as well as Islam. But can I say something to you? When David conquered the Jebusites at Jerusalem, and he bought the threshing floor of Arnon, that's where the Temple Mount went. David bought that, all right? And he buys that 1,000 years before Jesus, okay? He conquers the Jebusites somewhere, I don't know, 1,100 years before Jesus. So he take, you know, that David and the Israelites have control of that Temple Mount. There's no temple there yet. 1,000 to 1,100 years before Jesus is born. Now, they've got it. 1,100 years. It belongs to them. And then Jesus is born. And it's not till around 632 years after Jesus' birth. So that puts us at a total of 1,700 years before Islam even comes on the scene. Yet they claim that Jerusalem belongs to them. But the reason they claim that is because they deny history. Amen. They want things like the Holocaust taken out of history books. They don't teach their kids history. They don't want history began about 632 when Muhammad had his vision, along with his, I think she was about 9 year old, his 9 year old wife. Okay? This guy was a crackpot from the first degree, all right? Now, so 1,700 years go by, and now they claim it's theirs. I don't think so. But they don't want peace. They want Israel wiped off the map. So all these people that are promoting peace, I think they're either doing it for ego, because the person that, if somehow somebody could establish peace in Israel, in the Middle East, I mean, they'd win the Nobel Peace Prize, would they not? Oh, yeah. And I would really take a serious look at them to see if they weren't an antichrist, too. So I would take a real quick, I would really look at them. Huh? They'll have to rename that prize. That's exactly right. Now, amen. Now, here's your homework. Let me show you something. You know this. I preached on this for 6 weeks. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30. In case you missed it. Remember, I preached for 6 weeks. I think it was 6 weeks. On being a priest and king. And we taught that how Samuel was the prophet. And a prophet could operate in the priestly anointing, the priestly office. But the king, who was Saul at the time, could not operate in the priestly anointing. They were separate. But remember, Saul could see the Philistines, and he was getting nervous. Because he knew enough not to go into battle without first offering up a sacrifice to God. And he got antsy. You know how we do sometimes. We get nervous. We're waiting on God. We say we're waiting on God. And we go out. We try to fix it ourselves. Oh, Lord. We're going to need Service Pro or somebody to help us clean up this mess. I've done that once or twice. I've probably done that once or twice last week. Anyway, so Saul offers up the sacrifice. Samuel shows up right afterwards. Imagine that. What have you done? And so he shows up, and Saul loses his kingdom, right? And then in 2 Chronicles, there's King Uzziah. And Uzziah decides he's going to go into the temple, and he's going to light the altar of incense. And the priests, I think there's 70 or 80 priests there, they're withstanding him. And he does it anyway. And he loses his kingdom. Why? Because in the Hebrew Bible in those times, the king could not operate in the priestly anointing. So now we have David here in 1 Samuel chapter 30. He's not quite king yet. He's been anointed king, but he's still got some enemies here. He's still got some patching up to do. And they were staying, David, his wives, his men's wives and their children were living in a city called Ziklag. And remember, David and the men were gone, and the Amalekites came and took all the women and children. And now let's pick up the story in verse 6. It says, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." Man, they were going to stone David. I mean, that sounds like today. Everybody's looking to blame somebody for something. I mean, when you spill coffee on yourself, and this is a long time ago, you spill coffee on yourself, you ought not be able to sue the people you bought the coffee off of because you spilled it and got burned. At least the judge, I was really waiting on the lady that trying to sue McDonald's because she's fat, you know. It's a good thing the judge threw that one out. There'd been a long line, real long line. So they wanted to blame David, wanted to stone him. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, "Please bring the ephod here to me." And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of Yahweh, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop?" Now, I've heard for years that David put it on and danced, but I don't think that's what happened here. I think David knew better. And Abiathar had it on, and in the pouch held two stones, the Urim and Thummim. We don't know a lot about the Urim and Thummim, only that when they were taken out, you looked at them, and if they were laying a certain way, it was yes or no, yay or nay. And so when Abiathar pulls them out, it's a yay, it's a yes. But Abiathar tells him some other things. He says, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all." Wow. You have the king's anointing and the priest's anointing operating here, and a prophetic word comes forth. What's a prophetic word? A prophetic word is a word that is spoken that comes to pass. You know, the prophets, Jeremiah and I believe Ezekiel, both tell us that the way you tell a false prophet is when he speaks and nothing happens. It doesn't come to pass. So here we see a prophetic word uttered that comes to pass. David does pursue, and he does regain everybody. Now, go with me to Revelation chapter 1. Just stay with me. I'm headed somewhere. Verse 4, 1816, if you got a Bible like mine, is the page number. Hallelujah. Your homework's about to come up. Psalms 83 was part of your homework. I read it out of order because I could. Revelations 1, verse 4, page 1816. God is so good. Amen. It says in verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Priests. As priests here on this earth today, we offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to a holy God. Amen. We pray for people. We minister to people. We love people. We show people the love of Christ. We're being a priest of the Most High. But as a king has dominion, rulership, authority. So Jesus has given us his authority. So as a priest and a king, we are to declare the word of God. Amen. Amen. Why do we want to declare the word of God over different situations? Because God always causes his word to accomplish that for which he sent it. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to give you some scriptures that I want you to start declaring for the nation of Israel and for the American nation, the nation we love so dearly. Turn with me to Psalms. Psalms 33. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Psalms 33. Let's look in verse 10 and 11. Psalms 33, verse 10 and 11. Page 710, got Bible like mine. Psalms 33, verse 10 and 11. Everybody got that? The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Woo, glory to God. But look what we need to declare. That the Lord will bring the counsel of the United Nations to nothing. To make the plans of the peoples no effect. Amen. They can plan. They can strategize. But God can bring their plans to nothing. Amen. Let's look at another one. We'll go to Psalms 9. Psalm 9. Everybody get that last one. All right. Psalm 9, verse 15 and 16, page 692. Verse 15 says, "The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made. In the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands." We need to declare that over America's enemies, over Israel's enemies. Amen? I'll give you another one here. You're in Psalm. Jump to your left just a little bit to Job. Job is the book right before Psalm. And we want to go to Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5, page 651. Hallelujah. Verse 12. 12 through 16. Job chapter 5, verse 12 through 16. The Bible says, "He frustrates the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot carry out their plans. He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the cunning comes quickly upon them. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope at noontime in the night." They're in darkness. "But he saves the needy from the sword, from the mouth of the mighty and from their hand. So the poor have hope, and injustice shuts her mouth." I'd like to have some of that in America. Okay, moving right along. All right, everybody got that one? All right. Job 5. Verse 12 through 16. Job 5, verses 12 through 16. Now we're going right again. We're going back to Psalms. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. Verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and his anointed." Wow. See, when they're taking counsel against Israel, it's really against God. They're on a collision course with God. Help them, Lord. 3. "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." Now let's think about this for a minute. The psalmist says here that the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us." Now these are people that hate God, and they want to break God's cords off of them. How many of you know that in this nation and around the world, we have had a real lapse in morality?
Amen.
Amen. God's word doesn't rule our nation anymore in a lot of places. See, let me give you an example. The Bible clearly says that marriage is between one man and one woman. The Bible, the Hebrew Bible and its commentary both say that homosexuality is against God's word. But if you hate God and you hate Jesus, then you want to break those bonds. What bonds? God's commands, God's precepts, God's statutes that clearly tell us, give us a guide for the morality we're supposed to live by.
Amen.
So they want to break those bonds off of them. Somebody say amen or oh me. All right, let's keep reading now. I know it sounds like I pick on the gay community. I don't really. It's just an easy example, okay, to explain to you. If somebody who wants to break that off of them, all right. "He who sits in the heavens," verse 4, "he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" The word begotten means to display or bring forth. "Today," God says, "I have brought you forth. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel." How many of you know that your Jewish commentary tells us clearly that Jesus has been given authority to judge the nations?
Amen.
Amen. And he says, "Now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him."
Amen.
You want to do something for Israel? You need to declare declare these prayers over the nation of Israel. You're a priest and king. Amen. You need to be declaring God's word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that we are God's fellow laborers, co-laborers in the harvest. Amen. And I want to tell you something. I believe with all my heart, Israel is a key to world redemption.
Amen.
Revival is coming. Is it going to start here or is it going to start in Israel? I don't know. I kind of have a feeling that when it hits, it's going to hit in Israel. Maybe they'll be simultaneous. But can you imagine a revival that would break out in Israel, what it would do to the nations around them? Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. See, before God judges, God always, always, his mercy precedes his judgment.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Glory to God. But these world leaders, these kings, man, I wouldn't want to be any of them. Because they're on a collision course with God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Lord, we thank you for the nation of Israel. We thank you for the Jewish people who have preserved our Bible. I thank you, Lord, that you have taken the Gentiles through the blood of Jesus and you have grafted us into the commonwealth of Israel and to the covenants of Israel. I thank you, Father, that you have enlightened this church, Lord God. You have given us a revelation of Israel's place in these last days. And Father, I just pray that you will stir in all of our hearts, all of our hearts. Give us the want to and the desire to pray for Israel and to declare your word as priests and kings and believe those words are prophetic words that will not return void, but will accomplish everything that we have spoken. We give you glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, mighty God. Jackie, you and Grace want to help me? Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, we're going to drink of that cup. You know, and as the bride of Jesus, that cup represents that cup at the betrothal ceremony that the bride would drink. And it was symbolic that she would be faithful until he comes. And you know what? Part of that bride being faithful, I believe, is that we're praying for the nation of Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless his mighty, mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise his mighty name. Glory, glory, glory. Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you and we adore you. We thank you for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed and made whole. Father, I thank you that Teresa is made whole, that Aunt Helen is made whole, Aunt Diane, that Bernie is made whole. They're all made whole. Terry's eyes made whole. Anybody else I miss, Mike and his hip, he made whole. Oh, Lord God. For anyone else, Charles David and Wilma, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We praise you for your healing touch. And Lord Jesus, on the night that you were betrayed, you broke bread and blessed it. You commanded your disciples to do this, to take and eat and to do this in remembrance of you. So this morning, Lord God, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In remembrance that you are the immerser or baptizer in the Holy Spirit. In remembrance that you are right now our high priest interceding for us, and that you are soon coming King. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we eat of your body this morning. Take and eat. Hold your cup up. You ready? L'chaim, to life. Life is in the blood, the Bible tells us. And Jesus poured out his life at Calvary so that we could have that life and have it more abundant. Lord Jesus, this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we take and drink of your life. Hallelujah. Now, Charles David, was you going to request prayer for someone who died? Their family? Okay, well, we'll pray for him. Pack and Jones. Oh. Sheesh. Anybody else? Before we go. Hallelujah. Joe? All right. Hallelujah. I want you to be praying for me. I'm as soon as I get done here. Sound a little bit like Elmer Fudd there, I think. I have an E4N financial meeting tonight and tomorrow, and I'll be back. And then next Sunday night after I get out of here, I'll be getting on a plane in Charleston and going to the E4N board meeting. So board meetings are not always, we don't sit around the fire and say sing kumbaya, okay? They can be contentious at times, all right? So... Huh? No, I won't be no fist fights. Won't be no fist fights. I'm getting too old. Okay? Too old for that kind of nonsense. All right, let's pray. Father, you have heard all these prayer requests, oh God. Father, for those who have lost loved ones, we ask that your Holy Spirit would just brood over them and hover over them, Lord God. And Father, I just pray the peace of God that passes all understanding would comfort their hearts and minds. Oh, Father, I just thank you and I praise you for that. Oh, hallelujah. For Cousin Joe, I just pray, Lord God, for his wife and his family, that you strengthen them, that you strengthen him, that your healing anointing is flowing from the top of his head to the soles of his feet right now. Oh, Father, we just give you glory today. We give you honor. And Father, if there's any requests that I've forgotten, Lord God, you heard them, and we just lift them up to you. I ask that you lift up the meetings I'm going to today and next week, Lord God, that we will walk in the wisdom of you, O God. And Father, we just give you glory and honor. I ask that you be with each one as they travel home today. Be with them this week, Lord God. Give us someone that we can witness to about the goodness of God. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. I'll see you Wednesday. Glory. Glory, glory. We will be having class this Wednesday.